We are going to continue in this morning's message on wisdom. James has been writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered throughout the region about our faith, about our condition of heart, about the credibility crisis that we need to be doers of the word and not just listeners of the word, that we should actually have works with our faith, and that we shouldn't be partial when we meet other people from other social backgrounds, or whether they are poor or wealthy, or whether they happen to be a different race than what we are. He's talking to us about wisdom, and we looked this morning about the wisdom of the world and how the wisdom of the world is earthly and unspiritual. It is of the devil. It has an outcome that always brings envy and strife, and it ends in every evil practice, he said. Tonight we're going to look at the wisdom from the Word and how God wants to give us wisdom so that He might be able to use us in a tremendous way so that we can see and experience God doing God-sized things. I'd like to have you look with me tonight at the wisdom of the Word, beginning in verse 17. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 17. It says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You, Father, that You want to endow us with heavenly wisdom. Wisdom that You give us so that we can walk the path that You have chosen for us, so that we might have the outcome that You have chosen. And Lord, when we walk with You, when You guide us and we are able to follow You, we get to experience You doing new and fresh things in our lives that we've never experienced before. And Father God, we pray that You would bless us tonight with Your Word. Anoint our hearts that we might be able to hear. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. James says that the origin of the wisdom of the Word comes from heaven. It does not come from the world. It's not secular. It doesn't make sense sometimes for us to take our baby and put him in a small ark and float him down the river right to the house where the guy wants to kill him. It doesn't make a bit of sense. It doesn't make sense many times that we should try to enter into the waters before they part. God is into doing God-sized things, but many times we try to rationalize. We try to use our human logical reasoning to explain why we should do what we need to do, when all in all, God wants to be God in our lives and have us trust Him. That's God's desire. That we would so trust Him that when He says step, if we don't see where we need to step, we would take that step anyway. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Wisdom comes from God inspiring and endowing us on how to sort that knowledge out. God gives us a lot of knowledge. From cover to cover, He reveals Himself to us. It's hard sometimes to understand how God works and how God wants to work in and through our lives. James says that the origin of the wisdom that's in the Word comes from God Himself. Matter of fact, in Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed. God breathed, and holy men of old took their pens and wrote what God was breathing. So when we read the words, regardless of what version we happen to be in, it's God's Word to us. It's a revelation of who He is. That's why in more than one place, wisdom is mentioned. And wisdom is not only mentioned, it's mentioned that it comes from God Himself. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Look with me in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better." Look also with me in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. He said, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Wisdom, and I want to read it so that I don't misinterpret it. Wisdom is the ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances and then take heavenly judgment and apply it into man's situation. That's what wisdom is. It's seeing God's hand in the midst of the circumstances. See, if we truly believe that God loves us, do we all believe that? Do we all truly believe that? That He wants what is best for us so much that He would send Jesus to die on the cross for us, and that all things work together for good to them that love Him. All things. That means when the worst of the worst happens, that's what God says is all things work together for good to those that love Him, to those that are called according to His purpose. Wisdom from the Word is not just taking knowledge and saying, "Well, the Bible says this." No. It's taking the totality of what the Bible says, putting it all together, discerning God's hand in the midst of the human circumstance, and then drawing the heavenly judgment and applying it to man's situation. That's what wisdom is all about. Solomon was told, "I will give you anything that you truly desire." What is the one thing that you truly desire? And what did Solomon say? "That I might be wise in how I deal with Israel. I want wisdom." See, wisdom is not something that comes naturally. See, we talked about the wisdom of the world, how we don't need to teach our children to say no. We don't need to teach our children to take a toy that doesn't belong to them. We don't need to teach our children how to leave a person out of their group or how to speak ugly. We don't teach our children those things, but yet they do them because it comes naturally. Wisdom of the Word is not something that comes naturally. It comes supernaturally. Get the difference here. It is endowed from God above through His Spirit that lives and dwells within us. That's why it is important that we surrender to Him and that we can walk that Spirit-filled life so that He is living His life in and through us, creating the character of Christ in our lives. When we are open to what God has, God will then give us wisdom according to our knowledge, the amount of knowledge that we have. God will give us wisdom in our specific circumstances. James said that there was a tremendous outcome. Notice what that outcome is. Look at verse 17 with me once again. Notice what he says the outcome is. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. The outcome is totally different than the wisdom of the world. The outcome from the wisdom of the Word is purity. That should be the next one. There we go. It is first pure. Now notice, James is telling us in what order these things need to take place. First of all, he says it is pure. He did not say, first of all, by accident. He did not put purity in the first slot by accident. Because it is out of purity that everything else is birthed from. Purity is the prerequisite for the rest of everything. If you go back to that scripture, go back a couple slides to 17. Notice what he says. First of all, pure, then peace-loving. Purity is the prerequisite. That word pure is a large word in the Greek, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I know I'm just going to slay the word completely. But it means to have a moral blameless. It means to have the chastity of a virgin bride. That's what that word is meaning. Now, if we're to have that kind of purity, how is that possible in our sinful nature? He says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, meaning it comes to us in its pure state. And we then are the receptors. We receive that purity in our own lives. So our purity is not in our own strength, but it's in His ability. It's in His strength that the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. We are to be morally blameless. We are to be pure. Just as the chastity of a virgin bride, we are to be the bride of Christ. We are His bride. Do you believe for one moment that Jesus wants to return to a bride that has been dragged through the mud? No. Jesus, I do not believe, is going to come back for a bride that is dragged through the mud. He's not going to come back for a bride that is ailing. No, he's going to come back for a bride that is a chaste virgin. And that's what James is talking about here. When we use the wisdom of the Word, it first of all comes to us in a pure sense, and it purifies us, because as it touches us, it roots out everything that is impure. Have you ever had impure thoughts? Now, I'm not talking, everybody's going to go sexual here. I'm not talking sexual. I'm just talking about vile thoughts. I've had vile thoughts. When I start to pray, once in a while my mind will start to wander and I'll think, I wonder what we're going to have for supper. That's a vile thought. When it comes to heaven, that's a vile thought. Where did that thought come from? Didn't come from God. No, it came from within. That's what James says, that we have a propensity for sin. So when we have those vile thoughts, it's God's wisdom that purifies those thoughts. I really used to struggle with smoking. I mean, I was a good 2.5-3-packer a day. I struggled all the time with smoking. Even today, when I walk in some place that is riddled with smoke, I will smell that secondhand smoke and that craving will come back within me. One of the ways that I was able to put that down was that every time Satan brought that craving to me, I prayed. Well, Satan doesn't want me drawing closer to God, certainly. Amen? So I told Satan, you know, the more you do this, the more I'm going to pray and the closer I'm going to get to God. So pretty soon, Satan just quit doing that altogether. He left me alone. Now, like I said, sometimes I'll go into some place witnessing to someone and it will smell like smoke. I shared that with Ron Monday night. You know, that craving comes back even Monday night when I was out sharing my faith with Ron. So those cravings are natural, but what we're desiring, what we want, is something that is supernatural, something that is beyond ourselves. And that's why he says that it is first of all pure, that it's the prerequisite for everything else that follows. Then, he says, it is peace-loving. We will never be at peace with other people until we are at peace with ourselves. And we will never be at peace with ourselves until we are at peace with Almighty God. The Bible tells us that we have been at war with Him. That we are at war against Him and that He is literally at war against us. Romans chapter 5, I believe it's chapter 5. I don't have my old Bible, but it's Romans chapter 5, and I don't have it on the screen, sorry. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, if I can get over in this Bible, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Well, if we have peace with God, that means that we have been at war against Him. Amen? There were times that God chastised me, that God was disciplining me and wooing me through the Holy Spirit, and He was chasing me to try to get a hold of me, because I was the one that was lost. I was the one that was rebellious. Years ago, when I lived in Carthage, Missouri, my brother, who is, as you know, an alcoholic, was not an alcoholic at the time. He was not drinking. I was a lost person. We were moving some furniture in and out of the house. I don't remember why, but we were moving the furniture, and Nick, our eldest son, was carrying the other end. And as I stepped up the stairs, he dropped his end. And I mean to tell you, I went up one side and down the other of that child. I mean, I ridiculed him. I called him stupid. I called him no good. That was me being lost. My brother, being saved, took me to task on that. And he said, listen, you shouldn't talk to your children that way. They are a gift to you from God. And so what did I do? I threw my brother out of my house and told him to never come back. That's what lost people do. I was at war against God. And then she had the audacity to want to go down to the Little Baptist church because her boss went to church and wanted to take our kids to church. Well, I was glad to get her and the kids out of the house. Go ahead and go. Gives me some solitude and gives me, I can, you know, clear my mind. And then she comes back and her mascara is all run down her face. She looked terrible. And I'd been there before. I knew what she'd done. She went down and made a decision. And she cried. Well, so I had to go to church for all the wrong reasons. I had to go to church to make sure she didn't embarrass me any further. How dare she? God will use anything. He will use anything in order to capture us. And that's what he does. Why? Because we are at war against him. And I went there enough times that I heard the gospel until I was so convicted one night I could not go to sleep for fear that I would not wake up the next morning. And it was that night in my own bathroom that I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. I then was at peace with God. Even though I had been a horrible, horrible person, I knew nothing. Oh, I'd been to Sunday school for 14 years. But I did not know God as my Heavenly Father. I did not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior until that night. James says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and then peace-loving. Wow, I had a lot of mending fences to take care of. Mending fences with my children, mending fences with my wife, mending fences with my family, with my brother, mending fences. We'd gone back to Iowa. My brother was at his church, First Evangelical Free Church in Boone. I went to the service with him. After that service, I needed to talk to him to mend those fences. And so I told him, I said, do you have a place that's small that we can go and talk? And he's looking around and, well, all we have is this closet. I thought, great. People are going to see us coming out of the closet now. Well, he's my brother. You know, what can I say? So I went in there and I thanked him for correcting me that day in Carthage. Because Jesus made a drastic change in my life. I now felt something different. I did not feel that need to run from God. I did not feel that need to attack God's people. Oh, I attacked a lot of God's people when I was lost. I enjoyed it. I was like Paul. That's why God got a hold of Paul too. So that he could use him because he had a zeal for the things that he believed in. God says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and then it is peace-loving. I love peace. Now my wife doesn't have to leave for me to have peace. My children don't have to leave for me to have peace. Just my grandchildren. Not really. I was sharing with someone, and I don't know who that someone was today. We went to the wedding yesterday, and I saw Danielle. She was all dressed up. She had Emma all dressed up and everything. I just went over and put my arm around Danielle and put my head next to hers and just kind of hugged on her a little bit. And she goes, "Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm just getting a little Danielle time. I miss my little Danielle." "It's only been 2 days," she says. To be peace-loving. That's what it's about. It's not about the absence of struggles. Because we're always going to have struggles. But it's the absence of the conflict of that struggle. Because we can peacefully discuss things without getting emotional about it and getting all upset and stomping and saying things that we wish we hadn't have said. God says that kind of wisdom comes from heaven, and it's first of all pure and then peace-loving. Thirdly, it is patient. It's patient. Now, I know that the word didn't say patient, but what I'm doing is I'm taking the three words that he used, which are considerate, submissive, and full of mercy. Those three words make up patience. See, when we are patient, when we're using the wisdom of the word, we will gladly wait on God and on what He wants. We will be considerate of other people. See, that's not from the world. See, the world is not patient. No, they do a lot of things that are not patient. They are competitive, and there's conflict and there's confusion. But God says, "I just want you to relax and be peaceful and consider one another. Be submissive to one another, full of mercy." That's patience. I knew Buster would enter into the sermon one of these short times. Buster is still in the process of learning patience. You know, he has a ability to stay under command for a short period of time, being a pup, and he gets sidetracked. And he'll play with Emma, and he's good with the kids and everything. The funny thing is, when he turns around, he'll get anxious over something else and excited over something else, and his tail will be going like this, whacking Emma in the face, you know? And I just want him to be calm. Be calm. Well, our grandkids have been taught to be fearful of dogs. Kinsley, if Buster's laying down, will kind of walk around him a little bit. And if he stands, she'll take a step away from him. And I told Kinsley, I said, "Listen, you're his boss. Tell him to sit down. Put him under command and he'll do it. Just snap, you know how to snap your finger." Well, her finger doesn't snap very loud. I said, "Just point up and snap your finger." So she did that. And he sits down. I said, "Now don't tell him. Command him." See, when you're telling him, you're going, "Sit, sit, sit, sit." And he's not sitting. Why? Because there's no command there. I said, "You're his boss. You need to step up and go, sit." And he'll plunk down like this. So she thought that was pretty cool. She's the smallest of the family. She has no little brothers or little sisters. And she kind of enjoys putting him under command, because she gets to be boss. And she'll tell him, sit. And he'll sit down. She'll go, down. And he'll lay down. Stay. I said, when he breaks eye, you just keep looking at him until he breaks eye contact. And when he breaks eye contact, then you can walk away. And so she'll look at him like, now she's only, what, six? Five? Okay, she's five. But she's boss. It's hilarious. He's submissive to her. He is so powerful and so large. Why, he could knock her down if he's not careful. We are powerful and strong, and we have the ability to not be submissive, to mind our own thoughts and to go our own ways and to use the wisdom of the world rather than the wisdom of the Word. But James is saying the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, it's peace-loving, and it's also patient, meaning it's submissive, it's considerate, it's full of mercy. And see, that's one of the things that I struggle with. She's very merciful. We'll see someone standing at the side of the corner with a sign, and her heart will go out. And it's like, you know, I'm bothered by that. It's like, get a job. I'm not as merciful as she is. And God's working on that in my life. See, I would love someday to think and have that merciful thought be the first thought that I think of, rather than the second, after I've been corrected by Almighty God. But James is saying, you're going to meet a whole bunch of different kinds of people. You're going to run into all different kinds of crowds. You're going to have difficulties, and when you do, just count it all joy, because it builds your faith. And when you're having a heart problem, it's not something that comes from God. It's not something that comes from the dark side. No, it comes from within you. And you need to be a doer of the Word, not just a listener of the Word. Don't be partial when you see someone of a different race or a different social background. Don't show them any partiality. And you need to have works along with your faith and watch your tongue. But more than that, you need to have God's wisdom in order for you to be the person that God wants you to be. Our eldest lives up in Iowa. He's a manager for Walmart. They took him out of the Boone store to a different store by Des Moines on the other side. It's on our side of Des Moines, Indianola. It was an hour and 10-minute drive one way, and he drove it at night because he's the night manager. That's the main store where they train all the managers, and they were having such a problem with their night crews. And they saw the reports coming from Boone, and they asked the manager from Boone, why do you have such good numbers on night? And he says, well, we have a guy by the name of Nick Ballard. He says, well, we'd like to have Nick come and train our people. Well, now Nick agreed to do this, and he's having to train people that have a higher classification, a higher authority than what he has. And I told him, I said, well, when you get there, you need to understand and you need to talk with that store manager that what you say goes, because it works at Boone. It will work there as well, but he needs to support you. He says, I know, Dad. So my prayer for him is that God would give him courage and confidence to do the things that he needs to do, and wisdom as to what that is. That's been my prayer for the last 6 weeks for him. Well, he's no longer at the Indianola store. They loved him so much that they offered him a position within that store to stay there. But there's no way that he can drive an hour and 15 minutes, and he doesn't want to uproot the family and so forth. It's just not worth it. So he decided he just wants to stay at Boone. That's where life is good for him. So he goes back to the store where he normally works, and things are upside down. Things are not the way he left them. And so now he has the task of changing all that back the way it was. So my prayer for him is the same prayer. God, give him courage and confidence to do the things he needs to do and the wisdom to know what that is. That's my prayer for him. He has had to let several people go. The neat thing is, most of the people, when he comes back, he came back with a newfound confidence that he never had before. So it only took him like 4 days to change everything at night. And now everything is back to the way it was and everything's smooth. And he said that he had the opportunity to witness to one of the people that's working there. Because of the change that they saw in him, they wanted to have that same confidence. They want to move up the ladder as well. And they want Nick to groom him so that this gentleman will be basically cut out of the same cloth as Nick. Nick gives that guy consideration. He's patient with him, as he is with all the guys. But the guy said something that spoke to my heart. When Nick came back from Indianola, he was different. He had a newfound confidence. He was not questioning his decisions. And the guy said, I want that. And Nick said, that only comes from God. And the guy looked at him and said, well, I believe in God. And Nick says, well, so does the devil. The devil believes in God. What makes you different than the devil? And the guy actually, through talking with Nick, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ right there at Walmart. Nick uses his position as the vocation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the employees that he is over. Does Walmart approve of that? I don't know, and I really don't care, he says. That's the way we are to be. We are to be patient. Thirdly, or fourthly, it's then productive. There's good fruits. To be impartial and sincere. See, when Nick is talking to this individual, the guy knows that Nick wants what's best for him, and because what's best for him is also best for the company. See, what God wants is the best for us, and what's best for us is also best for His kingdom. That's why He wants us to use the wisdom of the Word rather than the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of the world brings confusion. It uses our natural instinct, our natural senses, rather than using the supernatural that God gives us through His Word. James is wanting to make an impact in the lives of the 12 tribes that have been scattered throughout the regions. God is wanting to use James's letter to us to make that same impact so that He can use us in a drastically different way than He ever has before. Listen, we don't go out to visit people in order to build and grow the church. That's not our purpose. when we go out to call on someone or to visit on someone. It's not our purpose to grow the church. No, that's God's business. What our business is to show our care for them. And when we show our care for them, they will naturally be drawn to this place because this is where they feel cared for. That's what God is desiring. And see, that's godly wisdom coming from God's Word. See, the normal person wants to go out and share all about the church. It's not about the church, it's about them. It's about them. That's why we need godly wisdom when we're going out visiting. We need godly wisdom when we have visitors come to this fellowship. We need godly wisdom when we're sitting in business meetings. We need godly wisdom when we're doing Bible studies. We need godly wisdom when we go home and open the Word and go over what the pastor has said. We need godly wisdom operating in our lives each and every day. That's how James is trying to make an impact in the lives of the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered. And that's the same impact that God is trying to make in our lives. We all have the choice of where we gain our wisdom from, whether it's of the world or of the Word. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. We pray, Father, that through this Memorial Day, we might be able to just have some quiet time with You. And Father, that we might reflect upon what You have said to our hearts tonight. Father, we thank You for all of these that have come. We pray a special blessing into their lives. And Father, we pray that we might be the people that You've called us to be, that we could walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. And Lord, we pray now that You will dismiss us with Your grace and with Your mercy, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.